Morning.
Glad to see so many people here a Sunday after Easter. That was great. By the way, I really appreciate all the help that several of you just got together and made things happen last Sunday when we lost the power. So that was in the choir and the chimes stepping up and doing everything in the fellowship hall. I really appreciate that. Announcements. We'll have a Thrivent meeting with the Thrivent rep here at after Sunday school on the 19th of April. And the reasons for that, she's going to go over the benefit action teams, the choice dollars. So if you're a part of Thrivent, you have that whether you know it or not. And a lot of that has been used to help, like the trunk or treat and other things in the church. So if you'd like to know about that, there'll be lunch provided and so forth. Other things, Open Hands Mission of Lyons coming up on Thursday. So if you'd like to help with that, transportation, please talk to Jeanette. Thanks for all the people helping the rummage sale. I think, I'm not quite sure, 3,500? 3,500 was, okay. And that'll mostly go to the Shepherd's Pack.
Yep.
So that's great. Blessing Babies and Beyond. We have some items on the pew to be sorted, as usual. And Walk for Life is coming up Tuesday, April 21st. You can read that on your own, but if you'd like to participate in that, I think I'm going to try to be there myself. Love to have other members there as well. So, welcome to all of our guests this morning, and let's turn our attention to silent prayer.
Thank you.
and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
For if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
We pray silently to the Lord. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, by his authority, at his command, in his stead, I therefore forgive your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. From above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Christ, the Lamb, who was slain, who
Almighty God, grant that we, who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection, may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you. Show us in your love kindness, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God, the Lord, will say. For he will speak peace to his people, to his godly ones. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. That glory may dwell in our land. Love kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth springs from earth, and righteousness goes down from heaven. Indeed, the Lord will give you what is good. Our land will yield its produce. Righteousness will go before him, and will make his footsteps in the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Acts 20. On the first day of the week, we were gathered together to break bread. Paul began talking to them, and intending to leave the next day, he prolonged his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where he gathered together, and there was a young man named Eutychus sitting in the windowsill, sinking in deep sleep, as Paul kept on talking. He was overcome by sleep and fell down from the third floor and was picked up dead. Paul went down and fell upon him, and after embracing him, he said, "Do not be troubled. His life is in him." When he had gone back up and had broken bread and eaten, he had talked to them a long while until daybreak, and then left. They took away the boy alive. They were greatly concerned. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
After 8 days, his disciples were again inside. But Thomas
With them, Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger, and see my hands. Reach here your hand, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are those who did not see and yet believed." This is the gospel of the Lord. Of course, there's all sorts of things that happen in life you know, health issues. How many of us have had health issues, right? It's just part of life. And that can rob our peace as well. But if the truth be told, our lack of peace isn't only something that is pressed upon us from the outside, but there's interior issues there as well. You know, how we, for instance, think about the problems that we have. The exercise or the lack of exercise of trust in God, of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In our world, with so much turmoil, so much lack of peace, Isaiah, the Old Testament, proclaimed Jesus, the coming Messiah, as wonderful counselor, we remember those words, but also as Prince of Peace. And that Prince of Peace is definitely what comes across so well in our gospel reading this morning. We have Jesus who is proclaiming peace. This is Resurrection Sunday in the evening. He's proclaiming peace three times in relationship, first to his resurrected body, and then secondly, he's proclaiming peace in regard to the mission of the apostles, and finally, he's proclaiming peace to the doubter. To everyone, but certainly that doubter. We're going to focus on the first one for this sermon. I think we're going to stay in this text a little bit longer. We're going to focus on that first peace, that peace that Jesus showed in his resurrection body. So the next several Sundays, we're going to go through the theme of the aftermath of the resurrection. The aftermath of the resurrection in the Gospel of John. And today's title is Peace in the Resurrection. Peace isn't something that we have to wait for until we get to heaven. Perfect peace, yes. Peace is something that God has for us even now. So the way forward, first I'm going to talk about peace in person, peace in that resurrected body of Jesus, and some interesting details we see in the gospel text. And then I'm going to talk about confessing our peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for gathering together this flock, the sheep of your hand. Thank you for the visitors, the guests that are with us this day to partake in word and sacrament. And I pray, Lord, that you would fill us with all good things. If the blessing doesn't come from you, then it doesn't matter. Lord, we pray, fill us with your word even now. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
So if you'd be so kind, open up to your bulletins to the gospel reading. And let's go ahead and read together verses 19 and 20, okay? So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side, and the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Now, note a couple of details here. And the first one is this. It's the first day of the week, which is Sunday, of course. Yeah, that's it. It's what has been called the Lord's Day. So that became the day of the Christian assembly, a sacred assembly, Sunday, the Lord's Day. And you see that, by the way, in Acts. You can look at this later, Acts chapter 20, verse 7. They're gathering together for the Lord's Supper, for the breaking of bread on a Sunday. 1 Corinthians 16, 2. Paul is telling the Corinthian congregation, the first day of the week, go ahead and collect those free will offerings that are going to go to the poor Jewish Christians in Jerusalem and Judea. So they were meeting on Sunday. So we are called to keep it holy. And how do we keep this holy day holy? By doing holy things on it. By gathering with God's holy saints around God's holy gift.
up to the Lord, holy praises and prayers. That's how we keep the holy day holy. Note some, well, really two curiosities about the body of Jesus that we read as well. First of all, there's the appearing before the apostles. There's others going to be there as well. But appearing before them, despite the door being, now our version says shut. Many of your versions will say locked, because that's the implication. And so Jesus comes through the locked doors. The resurrected body of Jesus receives from the divine nature some of its power and its glory, and that's exactly the way it works in the Lord's Supper itself, that Jesus is with us even in the bread and the wine because of the power and the glory of the divine nature. And that presence with us is a presence of love and forgiveness for you, right? Jesus is powerful. Jesus is judge of the living and the dead. But Jesus is here for you in the sacrament, not to judge you, but to love you and to forgive you and to affirm his promise, as you know, we talk about Monday, Thursday, the Lord's Supper is covenant, testament. There's another curiosity here about the body of Jesus, because Jesus' glorified body still bears the marks of his passion. He didn't come to the tomb. He didn't come out of the tomb, as we said Easter. He didn't come out of the tomb half dead, right? He wasn't dragging, needing to stay in a hospital for a month. He wasn't crippled after the resurrection. He came out in glorious light. He came out in glory and power, and yet he came out with the marks of his passion. The resurrected body of Jesus is described by the Apostle Paul when Paul says, now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. What are you going to do? You're going to live with him. That's the gospel, right? Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him. He's never to die what?
Again.
Right, because that glorified body. So the resurrected body is a body of victory. It means victory. And the scars of his passion that it bears are the marks of his everlasting love for you. I just like, really, you know, the way one of our hymns puts it. It's an Advent hymn. It's, lo, he comes again with clouds descending. And in verse 3 it says, those dear tokens of his passion still his dazzling body bears. Cause of endless exaltation to his ransomed worshipers. With what rapture, with what rapture, with what rapture gaze we on those glorious scars. That's going to be our experience one day, not just the experience of the apostles and other disciples 2,000 years ago. It's going to be ours. We're going to see the marks of his passion. And the response will not be when we see those things, you dirty, rotten sinner, look what you did to me. Those marks of his passion are the marks of his everlasting love towards you. By the way, all this about the body of Jesus is an encouraging promise to us as well. And here I'm going to go to Philippians chapter 3. And the apostle says, for our citizenship is in heaven, for which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. He will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. So our glorious bodies on that day of resurrection, of our resurrection, will be akin to his. And
And some people ask, will we who share his glory also share his scars? That is, will we carry our scars? For instance, think of the martyrs who have died for Christ. But will we have any of those marks? I don't know. But if we do, they're going to be a reminder of what Jesus has done for us, what Jesus has overcome for us. It's going to be a reminder of the victory that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our God is good. Our God is great. And our God is filled with love for us. And one day, he who hung on the cross and bled out, we're going to see those marks ourselves with our own eyes. And there will be nothing but comfort and joy, because those marks are comprehended in victory. And if you should have any marks, they're going to be comprehended in the victory of Christ too. At any rate, note the... You following with me, folks? Okay, all right, I'll just check. Note the reaction. The door was shut, the door was locked, and then for the fear of the Jews, not meaning all Jews, because they were Jews, talking about the religious leaders who were opposed to them. And Jesus says, what? He showed them his hands and his side. There's peace right there. The result is absolutely peace. And as you read, as you see, joy filled them to overflowing. And this, by the way, is our destiny as well. And our current blessing. Because peace isn't just for the, great by and by, right? Peace isn't just for what's coming. Peace is for now. Joy is for now. Is it going to be as good as heaven? No. Because we live in these bodies of sin. We live in this fallen world. But Jesus didn't just die so all the benefits would be after we die and resurrect. They're now for us. So what I'm going to do is move on to that confession of peace. Jesus changes the room. Right? The room is troubled, and Jesus brings peace, light, and joy. But what Jesus does for the apostles, and who Jesus is for the apostles, he's also for us, and he's also with us in his word, in his spirit, in the holy sacrament of the altar. And so we need to positively confess that. Now, I know that there are some segments of Christianity that will take that idea of positive confession and go to, I think, unbiblical ends. But, that doesn't mean positive confession in and of itself is bad. It's very good. We confess what the Lord has given us. We confess the peace of Jesus. We confess the joy of Jesus. We confess the characters of our God, the characteristics of our God, the holiness of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the loving kindness of God, the faithfulness of God, the sovereignty of God in all things. The apostles are huddled there. And they're huddled in fear. And certainly earlier on, but I think also now, to a degree, they're also experiencing grief. They weren't confessing what Jesus had told them. Right? We went through the Gospel of Mark, that section for Lent. And we saw three times in the Gospel of Mark where Jesus predicted, hey, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be hated, they're going to kill me when we go to Jerusalem, when we get there, but I'm going to rise on the third day. Three times Jesus said that. They aren't confessing what Jesus said in the middle of their turmoil. They're confessing... well, I don't know what they're confessing. They're just overcome by the fear.
so easily confess our problems, our anxieties, and our emotional pain. I'm that way. Can I be honest with you? Well, I already am. I'm that way. It can be so easy for me. And I don't know, maybe it's so easy for some of you. You can confess so easily your problems, your anxieties, and your emotional pain, and too little confess our great sovereign Savior. Too little to confess and grab hold of His gifts of peace and joy and victory. And I want to illustrate that with a true story. My son taught me a lesson. Don't ever tell him that's in this sermon, because he could look back on the video. I know it's a common thing, but we live common lives, all right? We apply Christ to our common lives. So, you know, Cheryl and I will hand down cards to the children at times when they need them. You know, I can think of the last one. Oh my goodness, did it turn out to be a lemon after we gave it to them? I said to self, don't ever give the kids, don't hand them down a car, because you're just going to feel responsible when there's a problem with the car. But we did that recently. We handed down over to Jonathan a car, because his was well over 200,000 miles. This little Ford didn't really fit the family anymore. And a little did I know that he was praying. He and his wife were praying about this. Lord, how can we do this? Because young families, right? You got three kids, you got a dog, you got to pay for a house. And, you know, how do we pay for everything? So they're praying about the car. I didn't know that. So that when they got the car from us, it was an answer to prayer. It's like, oh, wow, that feels pretty good. That was an answer to prayer. Cheryl and I were. Well, so he got the car on a Monday recently. And then a couple days later, he sold his car. And then the following Monday, he's driving down the road. I forget what it was. Maybe the Highlandville Road, if you're familiar with that, south of Springfield. But he's driving down the road with his son. The engine light comes on. The engine light comes on. And it's the engine stops working. But thankfully, he's in a place where he coasts to a safe spot off the road. Turns out that engine locked up and there's no reviving that thing. It has to have a new engine. It will cost more than the car is worth to put that engine in the car. And on top of that, he didn't have his car anymore, right? He sold it because he has this nice Kia Sorento from his parents. Talk about feeling bad. But then, Jonathan taught me a lesson. Because, you know, he's not feeling great, because he has to figure out how he's going to get to work. Wife's going to get to work, things of that nature. And so, but he has this trust and positive confession of the providence of God. So I'm just going to read some of his texts, but I have permission. He says, but, you know, we're talking about taking to heart, how God told us it's His job to provide for every need, and He has never yet failed to fulfill His promises to His people. Situations that look bleak to my natural eyes are nothing at all to the eyes of faith. May I never let a good trial go to waste, and I don't intend to let this one slip by. James and Peter both taught that it is our trials which God uses more than anything to grow our faith. Let's exercise that faith. Not in the certainty of a specific outcome, because I haven't been promised the easiest outcome. Man, the Lord teaches the Father. By the way, there was a good outcome.
kid's going to drop in an engine for free. Isn't that good? Praise God. Now, I want you to misunderstand what I've been saying. We do have, all of us, have anxieties. We all have troubles in our life. We get our stomachs tied up and our intestines in knots at times. We have inner turmoil because of the rotten things that are going around us, and sometimes just because our voice that is condemning us inside of our mind. So we need to be able to be honest with those things and talk about those things and pray about those things, and then thus we also hopefully encourage one another in the middle of those things. But we also need to be able to confess from the heart, even speak aloud the faith, to seize hold of what we have in Jesus. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Thus, he is bigger than our fears, our griefs, our turmoils, and our troubles. And he is our help in every situation. So Jesus, let us experience your peace and confess that. Let us confess the victory of Christ in his resurrection, in his promises, that we might have peace in the turbulent days, and that we might have sanity when so much around us is insane. Amen. Let us stand and confess together the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, our Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated. We continue with our prayers. Let us pray. Lord God, we confess that you are good and that your loving kindness is everlasting. Your faithfulness is all generations. We praise you, for you have not forsaken us in our trials, but you remain our great God and Savior now and always. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Father, as Jesus is peace in the storm and our refuge in times of trouble, empower us to put more weight in him than in our worries that burden our souls. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, like Thomas, we wrestle with faith and doubts and fears. Grant us your Holy Spirit that believing we may see, and seeing we may rejoice in your Son and the power of his resurrection.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, may this church be a place of salvation and discipleship. Use our fellowship that we may encourage one another in the faith. Forgive us if we have ever been a stumbling block. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, as your son's wounds brought gladness and peace to the troubled disciples, give your presence, comfort, and peace and healing to those troubled in our midst. Especially we think of Jay and Tyler, Hudson, Candace, Kathy Davis, Velvet, Dixie, and Michelle Newell. Lord, be their help, be their peace and their courage, be their joy, and be their healing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We'll have now the presentation of the offerings. Please stand. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, We beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the holy supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. So far, they came from the Holy Land. Isn't that amazing? Texas, of course.